This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. The field of integrative medicine began to take hold in this country in the 1990s. It represents the combination of practices and methods of complementary medicine with conventional medicine. And it emphasizes treating the whole person with a focus on wellness and health rather than treating disease, and also on the patient-physician relationship. Well, here with me to help us understand how this approach relates to what we eat for health is Dr. Kaushal Nanavati, Assistant Professor of Family Medicine at Upstate Medical University and the Director of Integrative Medicine at the Upstate Cancer Center. Welcome.
Thanks for coming in.
Dr. Nanavati, let's begin by helping us understand a bit more about this concept of integrative medicine. What's its goal? Tell us more.
So if you think about integrative medicine, a lot of people use the term complementary and alternative medicine, and there's actually a distinct difference. So alternative medicine is the stuff that people do that may not have great evidence in place of mainstream medicine. Complementary medicine are modalities that complement or support or work in conjunction with mainstream or conventional medicine. Integrative medicine combines conventional with complementary to help take care of chronic as well as acute conditions.
So you're basically looking to treat the whole person, and is it, you might turn to complementary medicine methods when the standard conventional methods are not helpful? Is that the idea?
Well, think about physical therapy, which we think of as conventional, as being a complementary modality. So that it's not necessarily that mainstream stuff isn't working, but this actually enhances the benefit you can have, conjoins with the conventional components to speed recovery, to help create a healthy mind, body, and spirit as well, chiropractic care, nutritional support. All those things can be considered complementary to what we think of as conventional medicinal modalities.
Some of the other treatment modalities that are often mentioned when they talk about complementary are things like, obviously, nutrition, herbal therapy, acupuncture, meditation, those kinds of things. Are those parts of what you're talking about as well?
Absolutely.
Okay, very interesting. Well, how did you get into this whole field? Tell us a little bit about your background.
So I'm a family physician. I was originally born in India, and my father was a homeopathic physician. And he practiced in India until we came to the U.S.
When you say homeopathic, explain that a little bit.
So homeopathic medicine has a basic tenet that the statement is, like cures like. And actually Dr. Hahnemann here in the United States actually was the kind of father of homeopathic medicine. And the idea is simple. You take a micro component of something that could actually cause a problem, and you introduce it into the body. And over time, the body's immune response develops around that.
Isn't that the basis for all vaccinations,
for example? Immunizations were actually a homeopathic modality that we've embraced in conventional care.
Do you think that in some ways this kind of integrative approach is a direction that medicine, Western medicine, is heading in general? What's your thought about that?
I think over the next, at least I'll say 50 years, but over the next many years, this is going to be much more relevant and important, because when we think about conventional medicine, or what you can deem Western medicine, we have excellent tools for acute care. And when people are really sick, we have some really good therapies and modalities. What our problem is chronic conditions. Anything related to things like heart disease, obesity, cancer, stroke, diabetes, hypertension. We don't really have cures for those. What we do have are treatments. But when you get to the complementary modalities, it's about promoting wellness, strengthening the body, and those are really going to be the tools that help us to combat, even reverse, chronic conditions.
So in a way, there's the emphasis is on wellness, overall wellness, and a prophylactic approach. I mean, in other words, more preventative approach than, in a sense, by helping people live overall more healthy lifestyles.
And I like to even say that instead of using prevention, we actually can use wellness promotion, meaning it goes beyond prevention. Prevention means you're trying to avoid something. And the idea is if you strengthen your fort, you have less to worry about the invaders coming in. So this modality, this component, and it's really good old family medicine that's gotten a new name, but it's also gotten a different focus, which is on that promotion, health promotion, as not just being kind of by the way, but being the main modality for care.
That's very interesting. I also understand, I read somewhere that beginning this year or more recently, that United States physicians are going to actually be accredited in integrative medicine. So it's going to be a real valid field, so to speak.
So there's been a American Board of Integrative Holistic Medicine that's been there for a while. They were not what we call ACGME accredited. So there has been a board's exam. I've taken the exam and done some training along the way as well. But now there are more fellowships. And starting this year into next year, what's going to happen, or at least over the next couple of years, is that the accreditation body is going to have a broader national recognition, and so that people that do gain the certification and the training will actually have qualifications that are thought to be more validated by the mainstream community, and hopefully that leads to a greater acceptance for the philosophy.
And it sounds to me that with all of that, there will be more of an opportunity for to kind of spread the word.
That's exactly
and get
right.
this whole concept, because it's really a large concept in terms of overall health.
It's healthy living.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's Health Link on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Kaushal Nanavati. We're talking about integrative medicine and its impact on our overall health. Well, I understand, and I know you and I have talked about this before, you have a very, very interesting theory of overall health, and you base it on what you call four pillars of wellness. Can you tell us about them?
So in talking about this theory, it starts really, if you think about a tree, and the trunk of the tree you can think of as disease prevention. The branches you can think of as disease management. And the leaves, think about as innovations. Some of them become new branches, some fall by the wayside. But when you look at the roots are really wellness promotion, health promotion. And right now our health system, when you think about hospitals, clinicians' offices, pharmaceutical companies, they're all modeled on a business model focused on disease, whether it's prevention, management, or innovation. But who profits and benefits and has a business model on wellness? And when you think about it, insurance companies benefit from wellness because if their clients are healthy, then they're not having to pay out as much. Government, especially when they run Medicaid and Medicare, have a benefit potentially financially.
And the opposite is true. We can be bankrupted by the fact, you know, by paying out for all the disease entities that exist.
That's exactly right. And so I think for the future, business modeling that combines both the above-ground players and the underground players, if you want to say it that way, really will lead to better health systems. When you think about the four pillars, really the idea of nutrition, physical exercise, stress management, and spiritual wellness are the foundation for better health, better living, peaceful living, and contentment.
And really to achieve that sense of wellness that promotes good health overall and perhaps avoids and averts the kind of disease entities that follow if you don't live that kind of life.
That's right. And I mean, if you think about it, contentment, if you're grounded in contentment, then even when you fall, you land in contentment. That's a great way to live.
That's a lovely philosophy. I love that. Well, let's talk about nutrition specifically. So you have some very key principles. I know that these are evidence-based. So I guess that's one other point I want to make. I think sometimes when people think about complementary medicine, perhaps, or integrative medicine, they don't always recognize that many of these principles are evidence-based. In other words, there is evidence that these things do work.
That's absolutely right. And actually, the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, just came out with a meta-analysis, which is a review of all the studies that are out there that looked at specifically vegetarian eating. And what they found was that vegetarians, compared to people who are not, actually had about a 5% lower systolic or top number on the blood pressure, about a two points lower diastolic number on their blood pressure. While it may not sound like a lot, statistically, that's a big difference. It actually reduces risk. It could also be that their blood pressure was actually normal, and the people that ate meat or other foods, actually it raised their blood pressure. We don't know that, but it's an interesting thought.
That is an interesting finding. But it also points to the whole fact that how we eat really does affect our overall health, and especially as you know, during this new period of approaching a new year, let's talk about what some of the key elements that you propose with regard to nutrition. Why don't you help us understand? Tell us about the food plate. What's that concept?
Yep. So the idea was we used to have a food pyramid. But it was difficult for people to visualize that on their plate when they ate. So the government came out with their food plate, and then Harvard actually came out with this evidence-based food plate that looked at all the studies on nutrition to try to proportion things appropriately. And the foundation, the core, really starts with vegetables as the foundation. And, you know, I tell people to eat 7 to 9 servings a day, and they look at me sort of like you just did and say, wow, 7 to 9 servings, that's a lot. But when you think about it, if you have a good-sized salad at lunch, good-sized salad at dinner, you've got 5 to 6 servings right there. And then if you snack on some carrot sticks or broccoli or celery, it's very easy to get to 7 servings. This is very important because we know that with vegetables, there's especially cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, kale. Those things are anti-inflammatory in the body, and that actually helps your circulation, which again reduces blood pressure, enhances benefits for your heart, cancer benefits as well. Then we talk about protein. Where are you going to get your protein? Beans, lentils, and legumes. In the Mediterranean diet, when they looked back, what they found was that while the fish and the wine tasted good, it was the legumes that actually enhanced benefits in terms of illness over time and even death over time.
And I think a lot of people don't even think about beans as an important component of their diet. And you're saying that it really is, contributes to good health.
It can be, and especially, I mean, there are some people who can't tolerate beans, and that's fair enough, but a great source of protein.
What about things like meat? I mean, that's the big bugaboo, as you talked about. I mean, not everyone's going to become vegan or vegetarian. So what do you do?
And I think, you know, there's one person, I just was on Facebook with a friend who said, you know, to each their own. But we have to at least educate people. And the simple thing about meat is you don't have to have it all the time. Also, red meat, the one quick pearl is well-done red meat creates a chemical called dioxin. And dioxin has been directly linked with colon cancer. So we tell people is if you're going to have red meat, the idea is to either have it medium well or not well done at least.
And the and as far as the other kinds of meats or proteins that you should eat?
I think fish, turkey, or chicken, and possibly even in that order, fish is beneficial in terms of omega-3. And then turkey tends to be more lean, even with chicken. The idea is not to have it fried and not greasy or fatty.
And to avoid processed meats, cold
absolutely.
Cuts, sausage, bacon, ham. I know a lot of people love those things, but at least to keep them to a minimum.
Yep, absolutely.
How about dairy?
Dairy is very interesting, and the idea with dairy is that with yogurt especially, probiotics in the yogurt are very beneficial. Milk and cheese, when people get older, they start to become a little more lactose intolerant, and that can be a problem as
well. So you have to watch out. You had a very important point. You said bread, rice, potato, pasta, and cheese. You don't want to have those around dinner time. Explain that.
Well, carbohydrates are not the enemy. A lot of people think that they are, but it's actually a great energy. The point is you don't fuel your car up when you pull back in the garage. You fill it up before you go out on a long trip. Carbohydrates early in the day are great fuel to use up the rest of the day, but you don't want to eat them and then sit. And so the idea is you can have some of these things earlier in the day, but continue with your protein, your vegetables throughout the day.
And nuts, of course, as you said, are very healthy. Walnuts, almonds, they really are better than other types of fat.
So nuts are a good source of protein, but almonds and walnuts are known to help your healthy cholesterol, the HDL. Brazil nuts are also very good in terms of sources of chromium and selenium.
Wonderful. Well, I wish we had more time. I know you also want people to drink plenty of water and limit juice so that you should eat your fruit rather than drink it.
That's absolutely correct.
Well, I want to thank you so much. Obviously, eating right is a true pillar of wellness, and I think your whole perspective is really very inspirational. My guest has been Dr. Kaushal Nanavati. He's Associate Professor of Family Medicine, Upstate Medical University, and they're Director of the Upstate Integrative, the Director of the Integrative Medicine Program at the Upstate Cancer Center. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.